know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, good morning here on Thursday morning, the 25th day of May 2019. Lord's not making another one like it. That's the only one he's going to make. This is the day he's made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow isn't even, it's just a thought, not even here yet. So, baby, let us today run with patience the race that is set before us with Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. Welcome to all of you here and all of you that are going to continue to join us. Man, things are really already amping up. You know, I just got out of the hospital on, what is this, Tuesday, and all of a sudden, boy, it's upon us. Our trip to Chappaqua and all we're going to do there, it is upon us. Guys are flying into the airport already. Craig made it into the airport last night. Ray, I was giving you a hard time. You probably couldn't hear it. Ray used to be my go-to guy, but then he went and fell in love. He fooled around and fell in love. And he got married, and now I don't have anybody run to the airport for me. So Craig from Shell Knob drove all the way in last night, and he's putting him up in the hotel, and he's picking up Paul in the morning. He's picking up Philip, and then Victor's coming in. And so it's already started here at our house. We have quite a crew here this weekend and filled with anticipation and excitement about what the Lord's going to do. And, you know, I've been busy already. Normally, I spend a lot of time preparing a show, and I've prepared some stuff, but I'm going to trust the Lord that he's going to flow through us today. Got a power pack show coming your way. And, I suppose I was going to talk about the schedule and everything. You guys know what's going on in Chappaqua. I'm not going to go over that schedule again. I'm not going to waste time doing it. We are going, Jared, pull that webpage up there for me, if you will, bud. It's kind of funny because the word is just now in some circles beginning to get out. I don't get discouraged or disappointed much, but I'm really discouraged and disappointed by how some of the patriot groups, so-called patriot groups, so-called guys who swore an oath. I'm really disappointed in some of those guys because they have not stepped up to the plate. They have not stepped up to the plate. And you know what the disappointing thing to me is, it's like this. The rank and file, the guys who are part of the group, they want to do stuff. They want to fight. But if the leadership doesn't put their stamp of approval on it, they ain't going to do it. They're not going to tell everybody else about it. And it's been a great disappointment to me because now is the time. Those guys, I was never a soldier. I've always been a soldier in the Lord's army for 25 years, 30 years. I was never a military man. I never served. And I appreciate all those guys who did, and all those guys who lost friends in Vietnam, and all those guys who came home with PTSD, and all those guys in the VA hospital, all those guys who laid down their lives, all of them. But a lot of them who did that aren't laying in VA hospitals. They're, dare I say it, they're in campers down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, riding out the wave. That's what some of them are doing. Others of them are sitting home in their houses looking out the window, wondering what's going on with America. Won't anybody do anything about it? And waiting for somebody to give a call. Nobody's given a call. I'm going to show you why. You hang with me a second. And it's all the same thing. See, there's no difference between, I was just telling you, no difference between the patriot groups and the church groups. If it isn't their way, it wasn't their plan, wasn't organized the way they wanted to, they didn't get involved. It doesn't matter to me because we're taking a hearty crew to Chappaqua, New York, and we're going to demand the indictment of Hillary Clinton. And I'm not afraid of the FBI or the DIA or the JAA or the LBGQ. I ain't afraid of none of them. And shame on all of us who live in this great nation with a history of military men who stood and fought the greatest beasts. And they fought Stalin. They fought Hitler. They fought Hirohito. They turned back every assault ever. Christian American men. Oath keepers. Now, where are they? Where are they? Nobody's putting out the call for them. Well, I'm too old. Well, because I'm too old, now's the time to fight. Better the old men die than the young men die. You understand that? It's better the old men die first, give the young men a chance to fight. Clinging to our lives, loving our lives, way too much, way too much. Jesus said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they love not their lives. I love my life, but I love my grandkids' lives more. Wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I want my grandkids to come to my funeral. I don't want to go to theirs. Think I'm kidding, right? Stuff's at our door. It's right at our door. I'm going to ask you a profound question I've been asking people everywhere I go. You guys out there watching, the 34 of you that are in the queue today, I want to ask you something. Well, I want to ask you this. Who comes after Donald Trump? Who's the guy, whether it's 4 more years or 5 more years, who will fill the boots of Donald Trump? Oh, I know. Maybe Jeb Bush will run again. Maybe we get him. Or maybe, hey, Mike Pence. Maybe, God, maybe Governor Pence will become president. Who's it going to be? Who's going to fill the boots of this bulldozer? Who is going to do it, folks? That's 5 years. If Donald Trump gets reelected, we're talking 5 years from now. Who's stepping in and filling those boots? And I promise you, it ain't going to be another Donald Trump. And the reason it's not going to be another Donald Trump is because for whatever reason, in all of his grace and all of his mercy, the Lord gave us Donald Trump so that we, the people, we, the church, would reassert ourselves. And all the people out there still don't like Donald Trump. And, you know, you can't even understand the war that's going on. Say, oh, he's a phony. He's a setup. Well, he's certainly done this. He's been a wedge buster, hasn't he? He's certainly been a wedge buster. For a guy who's part of the deep state, boy, he sure has done some shaking up. Sure, a lot of people on the other side that hate him. If this is an act, it's an unbelievable act. It's a great act. I say right now, the Lord's waiting for us, church, arise. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait. The church, her strength unequal to the task. The church's strength unequal to the task. Listen to this. The church's strength is unequal to the task. This phony Laodicean church cannot do it. It doesn't have the strength to do it. The church, unequal to the task. Rise up and make her great. Rise up, O men of God. Rise up, O men of God. Make the church great again. Rise up, O men of God. Not rise up, Republicans. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Nothing can stop the church. Ain't nothing. Not hell, not the forces of hell can destroy Christ and the church. Nothing. We cower and hide and worry. Oh, it's the Clintons. Oh, gee, Bill and Hillary, they got it. Boy, a lot of people disappear. Yeah, a lot of people disappear running into trees going down the road. A lot of people drop over and have heart attacks. You ain't living forever. Quit loving yourself so much. Yeah, I'm a blowhard. I know it. Hey, Jared, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to take you on a real quick journey today.
Jared, hey, Coach.
Dig into 1 Samuel 13 for me. Yes.
You know, you mentioned that you've never been a soldier. Well, I'm going to segue this into what you're saying. Today, right now, today, I'm going to attend a ceremony that changes my grandson's status from basic trainee to soldier. He will officially have a different title of the military. And last night, in our tent out here at the campground in Lebanon, Missouri, I underwent the most intensive weather system I've ever, ever experienced. It was solid lightning and thunder for 30 minutes at a time without a break. I'm talking like there was a stereo turned on, like it was daylight outside. And it was, you know, the creek that I was going to trout fish in is flooded way beyond the banks. The roads to get to the campground, they had to cut a new road through the woods because the old roads were underwater. Anyway, it's been an experience. But the thing is this, the rangers came around last night, especially to all the tenters, telling them the weather forecasts and everything. And you know, I my response to him was, yes, I've seen the warning on the telephone. I said, yes, I hear the light, see the lightning, hear the thunder. He says, well, there's tornado warnings. He says, there's hail and everything else. He says, you need to get over there in the concrete building. I says, I'm praying. And I realized at that moment, I had not really prayed about the storm. And then I thought about it, and I didn't pray about the storm because I had prayed that God's will would be done. And I felt so comfortable in this tent. And in this tent, we are still as dry as a bone this morning. We've been through the stormiest night I've ever experienced in my life. So whatever storm looks like is outside of your life, whatever storm, I'm just talking to everybody out there, whatever storm it looks like is on the horizon that you're headed into or towards, don't worry about it. Trust God. Trust God. If you end up getting killed, then you just get to see him sooner.
That's right. 5 to 7 inches of rain they had out in that area. Randy said, well, so bless you, Larry, for riding it out. I'm going somewhere today, folks. I'm going somewhere. I'm in 1 Samuel. We'll take you on a real quick journey. And then I'm going to, let me get down there. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Jared has it up there on the screen. And I want to show you something. It's beginning in verse right there. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel. 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. So we get the picture, right? 3,000 men here and there. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines. That was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it. They said, what? And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. So, boy, there's a victory, and Paul blows the horn. So let all of the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. Come on, man, Saul said, go to Gilgal. Look at this. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is upon the seashore, and multitude. They came upon and pitched in Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. So they got all the men there, got all the religious folk there, all the pastor gathering. When the men of Israel saw that they were in the strait, these men that show up, these sissy men. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. When the battle came, they ran and hid. What's going on in America today? Jared, fast forward to 17, 1 Samuel 17. We know the story there, right? Yep, we know that story there. David shows up, and I'm gonna take you through this because we're David. I'm gonna be David. You don't have to. You can hide in those caves and those thickets if you want to. Go find yourself some safe place. Larry sleeps through the storm. I ain't not me, man. I'm in verse 24, Jared. I'm hurrying through this story. I'm getting where I'm trying to get. Verse 24. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. They saw Goliath, they fled from him and are afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen that dude? Have you seen Hillary Clinton? Have you seen what they've done? The Clintons have done? And then the men of Israel said, have you seen the man that's come up? Surely to divide Israel, as he come up, and it shall be that the man who kills that dude, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give his daughter and make his house free in Israel. So David showed up, said, what does the guy get to whip this guy? David spoke to the men that stood by, saying, so again, what shall be done to the man that kills that giant? Takes away the reproach from America? For who is that uncircumcised Philistine in Chappaqua that she should defy the armies of the living God. People answered him after the same manner, saying, yep, this, here's what's going to be done. Here's what's going to be done to the guy who does it. So Jared, let's go to verse 45, just because I'm hurrying through it. We know the story of David and Goliath. And the Philistine sent him to David. Started 43, there it is. David and Goliath are met together out in the field. The Philistine, 41, and the Philistine came over and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine came out and drew near unto David, disappeared off my screen there a second. Hang on, folks. And the man that bare the shield went before him, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he said, are you kidding me? This little dude, you're bringing this little dude out to fight me? And the Philistine said unto, verse 43, said unto David, am I a dog? Do you come to me with staves? This Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come here, dude. I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David, when he was in Chappaqua, said to Hillary, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Look at this picture. Everybody's afraid of this guy. And David says, this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I'm going to smite you. I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know the God of Israel is still alive. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord doesn't save with the spear or with the sword. For the battle's the Lord's. And he is going to give Goliath into our hands. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards Goliath. I want to run to Chappaqua. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it. Hit that big dude in the forehead and he dropped over dead. David prevailed with a sling and a stone, smote this Philistine, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And he ran up and grabbed Goliath's own sword and chopped off his head. We're going to Chappaqua, boys. Now, Jared. See, I get so worn out by the never-doers. Telling me I'm wrong. The never-doers telling the doers that they're wrong. That'll never work. Why are you messing with them? Why that'll never, you guys won't make any difference. I wrote a powerful article today talking about the talkers and the doers. If you get a chance to read it, I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to give you a little bit of a history here. Golly, it's 7:20 already. Hey, boys and girls, this ain't my first rodeo. And we'll give you a history lesson of how the Lord has moved when I was obedient. We'll give you a history lesson here, okay? The first thing I ever really did was Terry Schiavo when they were starving her to death down in Pinellas County, Florida. Went down there and raised a ruckus and raised up as many people as we could, and we fought and we kept her alive for as long as we could till the church didn't show. Everybody was there waiting for the church to show up, and the church didn't show. And I got arrested and went to jail. That's another whole story. I don't have to have time to tell you. There I am at the Jared, go back just a little bit. There I am at the 4 minute and 20 mark back in 2013, 2000. Go back, Jared, just started about the four minute mark. Just get a flare. I want to show you this ain't my first rodeo. That's what I want you to see. It's in my first rodeo. Go ahead, Jared.
touched a nerve with so many people because they saw a family that was willing and wanting to care for her. They didn't understand why they weren't being allowed to do that.
On both sides,
let Terry live!
Emotions ran high.
No one would want to live this way.
20 times in court, 20 times.
This is the Roe versus Wade of euthanasia.
I used to say, what are these people doing? Why Terry? People's feeding tubes are removed every day. To this day, I don't know why. But it was very surreal.
Should Terry Schiavo live or die?
What evidence is there that this woman has any brain function or not?
Michael Schiavo.
I want to tell you a story here, folks. I was there. When I got on the ground, I was about the 20th person on the ground in Pinellas County, Florida. And what do they call those things? Satellite truck that you can imagine was there. Every ABC out network, the three-letter network, they were all there. They were all there. And the big satellites, you know what they were doing? They were there. You know why they were there? Because there was a struggle right in front of them between life and death. And the people who were for death, man, they were for death because all those who hate me love death. And some of us began to trickle in. We put that call out and more came and more came. But you know what happened? Those satellite trucks sat there waiting for the church. And the church never came. And they starved that woman to death. You wouldn't do it to a dog. It's 2003. They laughed at me. They told me I was crazy. It was on the ground in 2003. A couple years later, I don't know when it was. Same thing happened. Jared the next one, this crazy judge down in Alabama, wouldn't remove the Ten Commandments out of his courthouse. Wouldn't go ahead and play it, Jared. Go ahead and play it. Who do you suppose is down there? Huh? Yeah, you're going to hear Flip Benjamin. You're going to see some cross.
One other thing that I want you to know.
Cross hats.
Notice to my right and to your left. There is a Ten Commandments monument right there. God has given us a man by the name of Chief Justice Roy Moore, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama. And God has raised him up for a time such as this. But kids, I want you to listen to me. Judge Roy Moore didn't just take on the giant Goliath all at once. Look at me and listen to me. He was faithful in the little things. When he was a young boy, he carved out those Ten Commandments, and he hung them.
Okay, Jared, you can pull that. I want you to know we were there. We were there, and we stood, and we fought, and we pushed back. And I'm going to tell you, they took the Ten Commandments out of Judge Roy Moore's church, out of Judge Roy Moore's office, because the church did not show up. Church didn't show up. The church called Judge Moore a lawbreaker. What breaking? What law was he breaking? All that stinking lie of the separation between the church and state. 200 years of Christian history on the line, and the church doesn't show up. We were there. We fought back.
Coach, I still possess those Ten Commandments that we made, the ones that we brought up there. Yes. I still possess those.
Still have them. We were there, Dale. We were there. Oh, everybody calling us crazy. Calling, saying, oh, he's a radical. Stay away from him. He'll get you in trouble. And I was just being what we talked about yesterday, just trying to speak the prophetic. If we don't stop it here, it's going to get us here. If we don't stop it here, it's going to get us here. If we don't stop it in Chappaqua, it's going to get us in Hebron. And you can't see it. Your pastors hide. They're in the caves and the rocks and the thickets. By the way, Jared, I want to show you something real quickly. Pull up that, go back there to 1 Samuel 17 and go to verse 51. I want you to see this. Therefore, so David, verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. He smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in his hand. Then David ran and stood upon the Philistine. Can you imagine that picture? And took his sword and drew it out and cut his head off. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Watch something here. And the men of Judah and of Israel arose and shouted, pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. The wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way. the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and they spoiled their tents. Let me ask you a question, boys. Where were those men of Israel till David went and slew Goliath? Where were those men of Israel? Does anybody remember where they were? Come on, class. Where were they?
Hiding.
They were in the camp. They were in the church, in the building.
They're in the building. They're hiding themselves in case of what happened. When David chopped off his head, they all came running in, baby. We're about to see that happen in America.
Amen, coach.
We're about to see that happen in America. So then in 2000 or whenever, I don't know what it was. I'm kind of confused which one I got up here next, Jared. Yeah, it says free Ken Hovind. I hear this story about Ken Hovind, the world's greatest science evangelist researcher, going and was in jail, been in jail for 9 years, and they're going to try to resentence him for the rest of his life in jail down in Pensacola, Florida. So we just do what we always do. We just do what we always did. We showed up outside the courtroom. Go ahead, Jared, play this. We called others. Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer at NewsWithViews.tv at NewsWithViews.com. Thanks for joining us here today. It's time to free Kent Hovind. That's right. It's time to free Kent Hovind. Now, many of you listening to this video have probably never heard of Kent Hovind. He's a creation science evangelist known as Dr. Dino. In fact, you can find him online at drdino.com. A lot of free videos on there that Kent produced before he ended up in jail, and I'm going to talk about that here in a second, of just destroying the whole science of evolution. He's a great humored guy. I personally have had the opportunity to have lunch with Dr. Dino a couple times, had him on my radio program about 10 years ago when I first started doing what I'm doing here today. And
here's the story. Ken Hovind was in jail for trumped up tax charges, of course. 9 years. Now they're going to try to retry him again on mail fraud from jail, if you can believe that. Trying to charge him from jail for mail fraud. And they were going to convict him, and he was going to go to jail the rest of his life. And we showed up. We got a hung jury. We showed up outside. We did what Gideon did. We showed up and we made noise and we shone the light. And there was a hung jury, 11-1. They didn't convict Dr. Hovind. And immediately the prosecution files a different for another retrial on it. Anyway, long story short, we worked behind the scenes. We found great legal effort from Herb Titus and Bill Olson working behind the scenes. I don't have time to tell the whole story. But the day before Ken Hovind was going to go back to trial, Bill Olson and Herb Titus, behind the scenes, very few people know this, wrote a brief that proved that what Ken Hovind did was not only was he not guilty of it, it wasn't even a crime, what they were going to convict him of for the rest. 11-1, they'd almost convicted him. 11-1, the rest of his life in jail. One brave man stood up and said, no, that's not a crime. They did a retrial. And before they go to trial, I got a hold of Bill Olson. I got a hold of Bill Olson and Herb Titus. They worked together and they wrote their most unbelievable brief. And they presented it. I have a lot of story to tell. They presented it in the courtroom. And the prosecution looked at their brief. The prosecution knew they were had. Prosecution knew they were convicting Ken Hovind of a thing that wasn't even a crime. And the judge would not drop the case. The prosecution on the night before the case dropped the case. 2 months later, Ken Hovind walks out of the courthouse, a free man, doing creation evangelism today. And I'm going to tell you this right now, folks. Had I not shown up, I'm just telling you, had I not shown up, Ken Hovind would be in jail today. It wasn't just me, but I was the one that the Lord connected with Bill Olson and Herb Titus. It got him out. How about this? Are you ready for this one? That was the first case in the Pensacola federal courthouse, first case in 9 years that the federal government had lost. First one in 9 years. That's the move of Almighty God, folks. Because I showed up.
filled up. You can comment anytime. I'm just taking you down. Hey, I ain't some. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. All right, I didn't fall off the turnip truck. The Lord's had His hand of anointing upon me, directing me what to do. Say, Coach, you sure sound arrogant. No, I'm obedient. I'm obedient, not arrogant.
Amen, Coach. I remember those days. Exactly how it looked out.
Yeah, you know who calls me arrogant and obedient and somebody chasing the media? The guys hiding in the caves and the thickets. They're too afraid to come out. They'll applaud when they haul me off. Those guys will applaud. See, he should have followed the law. He shouldn't have been such a radical. He was making Jesus look so bad. Ask Ken Hovind how bad I made Jesus look. Ask him.
Hey, Coach, here's a little insight. Those were David's brothers that were mocking David about going out there. These are your brothers in the church that are mocking you for doing the obedience. What God actually called them to do, what they refused to do.
They hid. They hid, Dale. Hey, folks, this isn't about me. Do you understand? This isn't about me. This isn't about me. It's about you. What are you going to do and how we're going to react at this time in this place? This is David and Goliath redo. That's what we're doing. It's Hillary Clinton. Say, what are you guys doing? You can't. All of the guys hiding in the caves. All of the big talkers. All those big patriot groups hiding in the caves. Afraid to come out. Boy, Coach, you're messing with them now. Yeah, I know I am. Somebody has to. Who is this woman who will defy the armies of the living God? Who is that uncircumcised Philistine? Better go hide, Coach. You're going to come get you next. Yeah, okay. Well, come and get me. So then, Jared, go to Target. You guys know the Target story. I'm taking you down memory lane for all of you out there laughing and all of you out there hiding in the caves in the thickets. I found out that they were doing, going to let women in the restrooms at Target. I showed up at Target with my cell phone. A cell phone. This is what, 4 years ago? I don't know. Time flies so fast. And here it is. And this video went viral. Go ahead, Jared.
Okay, friends, I'm in Target store. I'm going to talk to the manager here. Maybe she can give me an answer to the question about the restrooms.
How are you doing?
Good. My name's Dave Dobbin.
Gianna. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Gianna. I've just been hearing a lot of things about your restrooms, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to get it from a horse's mouth rather than stuff you read on the internet. What is the bathroom policy here?
So the policy that headquarters sent down mm-hmm. was whatever you identify yourself as is the restroom that you are welcome
okay.
in.
So is there any qualifications? I mean, for instance, what would prevent me from right now being able to walk into a woman's restroom?
So the only thing they sent to us was, honestly, what you identify yourself as per gender mm-hmm. is where you can choose to go to the restroom. Okay. There's nothing from us that
you guys aren't checking it or anything like that.
No, we don't have okay. permission or anything along those lines.
You understand, though, as a guy that's got a wife and some daughters, that's concerning to me. I'm sure you understand that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I definitely understand your concern, and we're hoping to get more information on it or, you know, what that entails. But, you know, as of right now, that's a policy that's been
okay.
sent down.
Cool. So just to make sure that I'm right, I could, in fact, go use the woman's restroom right now.
If you identified yourself as a woman, yes.
Wow. Self-identify, huh?
So it's based on.
It's just based on whatever the person thinks.
Yep. So
and it could change tomorrow. I mean, I could think I was a man. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to wrap my brain.
Yeah,
around
no, this. I understand. I'm glad you bring me your concern. The other thing I could do is we have a phone number. It's our guest relations number. That's more of a specific headquarters number. Yeah. They're the one who have the policy. Brought it down to us.
I understand.
And so I went back and I took my daughter back there and I walked in Target store and I took my 24 at that time. My 24-year-old daughter went in the restroom and I stood outside the restroom in Target stores holding a sign that says, warning, men may be in women's restrooms inside Target store. And they called the cops and they came after me and yada, yada, yada. And the cops were embarrassed to even arrest me. I said, can I do it down at Bob Evans? Can I go to the bathroom in the girls' restroom down at Bob Evans? Said, if they called you, you'd come and arrest me. How come you're letting them do it here? American Family Association picked up my video. It went viral. And $20 billion later, Target is about to go broke. Now, I don't know if you understand this or not. It happened because Coach Dave showed up with a cell phone and merely But I walked in that prophet's anointing and went and said, this is wrong. And I lit a match and Target's still burning. Some of the people came out of the caves and the thickets. They started the Target protest. That's what we're doing right now in Chappaqua. We're starting to brush for. I'm about done. Hang on. Bear with me a second. So then in 2004, I lose track of time. My life goes so fast. Whenever they legalized gay marriage, Kim Davis down Kim Davis said she wasn't going to marry homos. She wasn't going to do it down in Kentucky. I forget the name of the town. Grayson, Kentucky. She's the clerk of court said she's not going to do it. Not going to marry him. So we went down there, man. So what did I do? Do what I always did. Run. I run to the battle with my cell phone. Said, no. We went to, stood outside Ashland, Kentucky, and raised up a group of people, and they arrested. They took Kim from the courthouse, threw her in jail, and we went out on the streets. We handed out literature and flyers, and we did videos. People come and join us, and 20,000 people showed up outside, and they let outside the jail, and Kim Davis walked out of the jail. Now, before that happened, 60 of us went to Judge Bunning's office, his home, the federal judge, James Bunning. We went to his house and we stood outside his house and demanded she be set free. We, the church, showed up. We came out of the caves. We came out of the thickets and we went and we demanded that she be set free. They let her go. While we were outside the jail, 10,000 strong, 10,000 that couldn't even get off of the freeway trying to get to the rally, a rally that we called and we started. We lit a spark and boom, it took off. While we were outside having a rally, Kim Davis walked out of the jail. Go ahead and play this clip, Jared.
Going after the judge, that's what protesters angry about the Kim Davis gay marriage case did just hours ago.
Yeah, that judge who jailed Davis for refusing to issue marriage licenses is David Bunning, and he lives in northern Kentucky. Now, yep. Your side's Tamika Artis joins us with the protesters' demands. Tamika?
There we are!
That is correct. Federal marshals here standing guard outside of what has been a peaceful demonstration so far. Behind me, you can see that the number of people outside here protesting has dwindled.
See, they're always surprised we're peaceful. Do you understand? Do you see this stuff? Wow, they're peaceful. Wow. No, Antifa comes out. They break windows. They bash cars. We're peaceful. Wow. Surprise. Go ahead.
Dwindled from about 30 earlier today down to about 10 now, all outside of the home of Judge David Bunning. He is the judge that sent Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis to jail for refusing to issue gay marriage licenses. Today they are calling for her to be immediately released from jail. They say that she is not the one who should be behind bars. Chanting and holding up signs in support of Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis, dozens rallied outside the home of the judge who found her in contempt for refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
We're here today to be a voice for Kim Davis, who's been unlawfully put in jail, and we're looking forward to the time when she's going to be released.
And Lord, I pray, Father.
The group includes ministers from Ohio, Kentucky, and North Carolina. They say it is Judge David Bunning and not Kim Davis who should be behind bars, failing to allow her due process under the law.
We want Kim Davis out of jail. We think that she's unrighteously being held in that jail. She has not committed a crime. We would ask anybody in America, show us the law or free Kim Davis.
Davis says it is her religious beliefs that prohibit her from issuing marriage licenses to gay couples. Her attorney says she's no plans to resign. Well, Kim Davis remains behind bars in Grayson, where hundreds of other protesters have been gathered outside of her jail cell since Thursday. In the meantime, Judge Bunning has issued a ruling that her supporters are not allowed to set up a GoFundMe account to help pay for her legal fees. Reporting live here in Fort Thomas, I'm Tamika Artis, 9 on your...
Okay, boys. We grabbed a sling and a stone and we went and said, not on my watch. This ain't going to go on my watch. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm just feeling this deeply. When this whole thing's over, this Chappaqua thing, wherever this thing's taking us, Mark, and wherever this thing's taking us, Matt, when this whole thing's over, you know who's going to be standing in front of the microphones? Tony Perkins, Fred Daly, all those pro-family groups that are hiding in the caves and the thickets,
oath keepers. They'll be out there in front of it. Everybody will be on there then. And I'm going to be moving on. I'm going to go do the next battle that I'm called to fight. And that's what this whole thing's about, brothers. It doesn't matter. It's amazing what can be done if you don't care who gets the credit.
Hey, Coach.
We're lighting a spark. Yeah, Randy, come on in.
There's a threshold that needs to be crossed for the media.
That's right, man.
And then it'll be a rush to who gets it on the air first.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just before that threshold of people deciding, you know, is this going to be a positive event for our three-letter network, or is this going to be a negative event? I think they're going to be there, Coach, and I think that they're going to be rushing to be there. And then you got the naysayers. The naysayers who are going to miss out on this event for Jesus. I just don't understand it. I'd like to understand more about the naysayers, believe it or not, Coach.
Well, what do you guys think? What do you think about the naysayers? I think it's fear. Number one, I think it's fear. What do you think, Matt?
You know what I have to say?
Hang on, Matt. We can't hear you.
What I have to say about the naysayers, Coach? Okay, it's disappointing, but you know what? They're showing their true colors, and we don't need the naysayers because Jared, God's going to raise up the people that we need.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the naysayers, you know what? They can stay in their caves and hide, put on their skinny jeans, and just, you know, cower. Okay? We don't need them. God's going to bring the people that he wants in front of this, and then we're on to the next one, just like you said, because this is enough.
This ain't my first rodeo, Matt.
We're going, man. We're going.
Let me tell you something. I can't find it right now, but this story of David. No, Jared, that's not what I wanted, but the commentary that I wrote, the News with You's commentary, pull that up for me. Somewhere in here, David shows up to the fight. I don't know if you guys know this. David shows up at the fight, and they're all mad. His brothers are mad when he shows up. He said, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" And David said, "Hey, let me tell you something." He said, "I've been back here doing my job and guarding my daddy's sheep back here. So I want to tell you a story. I was about there one day and a lion showed up. I went over and I grabbed my rod and I whacked that lion on top of the head. I saved the flock." He said, "Another time a bear came along." So that bear came along. I went over and I grabbed that bear by the neck and cracked him in the mouth. He fled too. He said, "I'm about to tell you boys something. The same God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the mouth of the bear, he's about ready to drop that big dude out there too. You're going to see something, see? So I want you to know something. I've been fighting lions and bears for a while. I'm ready for the big time. Anybody ready for the big time? Because the Lord has called us for such a time as this. Not everybody could do this, fellas. I'm telling you, not everybody's going to do this. Because why? I'm coming in Chappaqua, New York. This is prophetic, man. I'm coming not with a sword and with a spear, but in the name of the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords. I'm coming in the name of God, whom she has defied." Now, Jared, did you pull up my commentary? I want to read down through this because I think this is really, really, I think this is important. On the screen, I just wrote this today. Now, News with You always changes the name. That's not what I put up there. He put up there, "While the good people pray and talk, the doers are changing the country." He put that title I put up there, "We're going back to Hillary's." But somebody just mentioned the talkers and the doers. I'm going to stay with me a second. "A little over a month ago, I visited Hillary Clinton's house in Chappaqua where I called for indictment. I went alone. I figured it was time somebody from the uber silent majority to do something." Silent majority, always silent. See, there are plenty of talkers in America. Spend 10 minutes on Facebook and you'll realize that there are gobs of podcasts streaming on the internet. Everybody's talking, offering their opinion on what needs to be done to rescue this nation. But very few actually do anything. When was the last time you saw Rush Limbaugh out in public actually doing something, using his platform to actuate change in the culture? Talk is cheap. That's why there's so much of it going on. Talking about a problem is not solving the problem. Action is required to effect change. Talking is not acting. The nation is blessed with hundreds of patriot groups. They care about this country, but aren't really doing anything to rescue it. Oh, they have their meetings where they discuss ideas, but rarely do you see any cultural changing actions come from any of those meetings. Meanwhile, the left's constantly taking their grievances to the street. They move the ball down the field. The left actually gets on the playing field and act upon what they believe. Have you happened to notice which side is winning? Evidently, acting is more effective than talking. Pastors pray, radio hosts talk, bloggers talk, conservative politicians talk, patriot groups talk. Well, the Dems, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Code Pink, Move On, and their hook flood the streets and act upon what they actually believe. And then the talkers talk about what the doers are doing. And meanwhile, America goes down the tubes while the talkers talk. Turn on Rush and his wannabes, and they'll give you a play-by-play analysis of how the left is winning the game. Their airwaves ripple 24 hours a day as the talkers talk about how the battle's being lost. See, talkers talk and doers do. The doers are winning. Look at the scoreboard. Would you like to actually win for a change? Are you willing to actually follow the left and become doers of the word and not hearers only? And it goes on down through there. The talkers laughed at my doing. Some ignored me and called me a lunatic. But some folks who want to be doers notice what I did. They want to do something as well. So they got organized, Mark Trump and Matt and others. This Sunday, we're going to go back. It's the first time many things. It's the first of many things that we're going to do. Would you like to get involved? Would you like to actually do something? Here's your chance. And there's a website. Get off the bench and get into the game. Hundreds are getting in our cars and driving to Chappaqua. We're going to meet up and caravan together into town and demand that government do its job and indict Hillary. She's a felon. James Comey told us she was, but he explained that there was a different system of justice for the rich and powerful. Check out Comey's video on our website. Are we going to let her get away with it? Are we going to sit silently on our homes and talk about what needs to be done? Scroll down, Jared. And talk about how unfair the system is. If you had done what Hillary did, would you be walking around as a free man? Why is she? Can somebody tell me? Doesn't that bother you? Don't you think we should do something? Well, we are. So join us. It's the beginning of a movement of doers who want to see the rule of the law reestablished in America. Equal justice under the law is our demand. We must show our elected officials that justice matters to us. Then it'll be peaceful. You may not even leave your car. We won't stoop to the harassing actions of the left, but merely petition the government for a redress of our grievances by demanding her indictment. She isn't some TV personality, Tucker Carlson. She's a public official who betrayed her oath. We demand equal rights, not special rights. Time is now to come to our country's aid. Talk is cheap. Our window of time is short. It's our time to do something. And many have criticized us. Many more will. But they are talkers, and we are doers. If you love this country and you're not afraid to stand up, please load up your car, make a few signs, and join us in Chappaqua. This could be the start of something big. Let's reestablish equal justice in America. Our grandchildren are counting on us. That's it, boys. That's what we're going to do. I've talked for 49 minutes. Somebody else come on in here.
Coach.
Yep.
The church got bored a little over 100 years ago. The corporate, you know, America went corporate. We forced everything, the government, and the church caved at the beginning of the 20th century and came to where it was ruled by boards, not in any sort of a biblical way, but by boards of directors.
Yeah, church got bored. I got you.
Yeah, it got bored, and now everybody's bored. But, I mean, it took a century because Christianity is true, and it's practical, and it's potent, and it's real. But the problem, to answer Mark Trump's question, why are there so many naysayers, whatever, because they're bored. It's because they're bored. The board is dictating everything. The board of directors, the committee. Well, what happens when you have a committee meeting? What would have happened with this event if we had ruled, if we had pulled this thing together in the last 2 weeks by committee?
Well, we saw some of those committee guys try to come in and want to be part of it, but see, no. They don't. Hey, Mike, I got a slingshot and a bag of stones.
Yeah. I don't need much, I don't need much more direction. I got the, I got this part figured out.
Yeah. This happened to me in Maine. You and I visited Paul Madore on his deathbed. Remember that?
Yep, I do.
I was going to launch a big referendum, and what happened after that is because of my mindset from my civically, I mean, 2 decades is a long time to be bored, right? I mean, I had to answer to a board of directors. Yep. And I just could, and what had happened immediately was the ethics committee, the board, I got to do this. I got to form this LLC. I got to protect that. I got to get an accountant. I got to bookkeep that. I got to keep track of the expense over here. I got to start that spreadsheet. And before I knew it, I couldn't figure out what to do next.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And folks, listen, I'm a street fighter, man. Now, listen, because I've heard this one, and I got to put this one to rest, and somebody can come on in here. They say, well, you're no better than the left going out there and harassing people. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Hillary Clinton is not Tucker Carlson. She's not whoever it is. Pick whoever it is. She is a trusted elected official who betrayed our trust. She's not just some citizen that we're showing up and harassing. You understand that? Throw that talking point in the garbage. She is getting away because it's too system of justice. And we, the people, say no more. We ain't going to let that happen. Look what they did to Judge Kavanaugh. Just follow. Look what they're doing to Bill Barr now. Look what they're doing now. The left. Why is the left winning? Because they put boots to what they believe, and we don't. Somebody else, come on in.
Coach.
Yep.
The Christians, the church doesn't have the stomach for battle. They're in full-blown desertion.
Right? They're in full-blown desertion. And you know what they do? I wonder how many of my friends, Jeff, wonder how many people you're talking to say, oh, he's crazy. That guy's crazy. He's going to get himself killed.
They all tell me that, Coach. I hear it.
Yep. Yep. Hey, ask Kim Davis if I'm crazy. Ask Ken Hovind if I'm crazy. Ask Target if they think I'm crazy.
Hey, I know for a fact, Coach, Ken Hovind does not think you're crazy. I've met the man twice, and he totally told me.
Yep, he didn't even remember me when he was in jail and we were working to get him out. I can tell you the most miraculous story of the – folks, don't miss this. The most miraculous story of the hand of God moving based solely on my obedience to go. See, the Lord needs a sacrifice that he can work with. We'd like to sit back and say, let's pray that God will end abortion. Well, okay, I'll pray that God will end abortion, and then I think I'll go try to end it. And see if maybe he might bless my efforts. If we think that we're going to sit back here and pray to the Lord that he's going to restore righteousness to this country, and we're not going to have to get out of our butts, or we're not going to have to, dare I say it, go out in public, take a stand publicly. Are you kidding me?
Hey, Coach, God doesn't speak to people that aren't doers, because his agenda is moving. And if you're not going to get off of your butt and move, and if you're lazy or content, or if you don't have the stomach for it, all of those things are factors. But when it comes right down to it, God's looking for doers, and then he puts his power in them, and they change things, Coach.
Amen, buddy. God works through people.
Hey, Coach.
Luther King. Pick the names. Just pick the names. And God works through people.
Hey, Coach.
Coming in.
Hey, you got two things going on here, Coach. You're radioactive, brother, but you're fusion. The left is radioactive, but they're fission, brother. They're wicked.
Wow. That's good.
You got the sun. You got the sun. See, fusion is driven by the sun. God created the sun. But I'm talking about that S-O-N, brother. You got that S-O-N fusion going on, Coach.
I do, brother. I do. And you know what? When we show up, there will be such a powerful anointing upon us that they won't. It is going to do far more than they can. Matt, I want you to be encouraged. Mark Trump, I want you to be encouraged. Don't look at numbers. Don't look. Look at Gideon's army. How did Gideon start out? They had 30,000 of them. I could read it. I'm going to tell you the story. There are 30,000, and there were so many of the enemy that they said they couldn't even number them. There were so many of them.
Gideon had 30,000. He goes back to the Lord, says, Lord, what am I going to do? You got all these people out here, and there's just 30,000 of us. What can I do? And the Lord says, well, here's the first thing I'm going to do, Gideon. Hate to tell you this, dude, but you got to get rid of some people. You got a bunch of people out there. They're just there. They ain't going to help you at all. He said, you go down there and you tell them that. So Gideon goes there and says, listen, babe, boys, 30,000 people. Hey, we're going to go to Chappaqua. We got a big battle ahead of us. And by the way, if any of you are scared or a little bit nervous, or maybe you're afraid your employer is going to get mad at you, hey, listen, we understand. You can leave right now. The Bible says that what? 27,000 left. 3,000 remained. And Gideon went back to the Lord. You can read it in Judges. I think it's in Judges. Gideon went back to the Lord and fell on his knees and said, Lord, are you kidding me? What have you done? And the Lord said, Gideon, I hate to tell you this, dude. You still got too many. Gideon says, what? Yeah, you got too many, Gideon. You got guys who aren't really committed, and they're gonna deceive you. Gideon, he said, listen, dude, here's what I want you to do, Gideon. He said, I want you to take the 3,000 that you have left. He said, I want you to take them down to the water and tell them all to get a drink of water. And he said, the one, Gideon, the ones who put their head down and they lap the water like a dog, lump, 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 lump. He says, I want you to send those guys home. And the ones who get down on one knee and cup the water and drink the water out of their hand, and keep their eyes alert the whole time they're doing it, those are your boys, Gideon. So Gideon went down there. The boys get a drink. And 2,700 of the 3,000 lap the water like dogs. And Gideon says, okay, go, boys. So Gideon was left with his 300. And they overthrew a nation with 300 deeply committed, God-ordained, God-anointed men.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Amen.
He did send them with a sword, he said, Gideon.
Amen.
I want you to take his earthen vessels with a candle inside of them. And when you get there, man, God's going to show up and he's going to show off.
And what did he do, Dale? He put their camp into confusion.
Yeah,
if you read the story of Gideon, they began to attack one another. Amen! They began to attack one another. The devil's team is going to begin to attack one another. That's from the Lord right there, boys.
Yes, it is, Coach. Coach, I'm not going because of you or anybody, because of any reason. I'm going because I have to be obedient, and because I'm not going in hope, Coach. I'm going in faith. I see what's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, Coach.
It's going to happen.
Write it down. Everybody, listen. Write this down. God is doing something. It's going to happen. Just see it. You got to see it.
Randy, here's the thing I know. I'm just going to go be obedient. Duty is ours. The responsibility belongs to God. I'm going to go, and then I'm going to watch what happens after we go. Now, folks, one last
thing.
We got some expenses. I've rented cars, got a hotel room. I'm looking at about $2,500 probably at this point. Some of you can help me out there. Some of you can't go. Help us. I don't want the soldiers to have to pay for their own hotel rooms. I don't want them to have to. No soldier goes fight on his own expenses. There are enough people watching right now who could fund the battle, fund for these guys to go, and that's what I'm asking you to do. Just go online, CoachDaveLive.com, and make an offering towards us. Anybody else help me wrap it up?
Coach, you're absolutely right. You are out of your mind. As Paul said, if I'm out of my mind, I'm out of my mind for Christ Jesus and him alone.
Amen, baby.
Amen. Amen.
You know what we're going to see? We're going to see the most amazing thing. Randy, hear me. You hear me, Randy? You hear me, Mark and Matt? Those men are going to come running out of the caves and the thickets and all those places. They're going to come running out. It's going to happen. We're going to light a spark in Chappaqua. It's going to change the world. I believe it or I wouldn't go. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow morning.